All right. So I only have one joke tonight, and it is something that I think only Adam would appreciate, and he's not even here to hear it. So what do Reese's, aliens, and this lesson all have in common? They all come in pieces. So I told you it was terrible. Nope, I didn't hear a laugh until I said it was terrible. That was expected. So this lesson will be on peace. So let's start with the definition. Peace is defined as the absence of conflict or war, the absence of anger, contention, strife, animosity, hatred, jealousy, and pride. Now, when I was approached to do a lesson for this series, I guess they were picking out guys who don't usually lead a class, trying to get more guys in the mix of doing some public speaking. First thing on my mind was definitely not peace. Many of you know being in front of crowds, classes, is definitely not something I find easy or at peace with. But I was asked to do this, and to not be that guy or to look lazy, I said yes. So the last months have been spent in much prayer and worry about how I was going to manage to keep myself together enough to do a lesson. Prayer has been something that I've been trying to work on a little bit harder over the last few years, praying more and being more honest and bold about what's going on in my head. And it got me thinking, all these things that stress us out, cause tension, keep us focused on things that shouldn't be or we need to let go of. The devil talks to all of us in some way. Many of us the same way. We doubt ourselves, others. Satan even makes us doubt our own salvation at times. Personally, I'm someone who can spend far too much of his own time inside his own head. It causes doubt, stress, worry, anger, lack of interest in things that I'd otherwise enjoy doing. We all have similar things. We may differ slightly, but we're all people and life is life. We like to think that we're special when it comes to our personal struggles, but far too often, we're much more similar than we think. If I could have somebody get Philippians 4, 7, and 8 ready. So what do these things all have in common? A lack of peace. Philippians 4, 7, and 8.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
There's a song by Richard Mullins called Hold Me, Jesus. Kind of along the lines of life is getting to you. You can doubt your own faith at times. A line says, won't you be my Prince of Peace? I think we all have a struggle where true peace is hard to find at times. We cry out in pain and aggravation when things are difficult, wonder why am I in this place? Is it my fault? Is it part of God's plan that I don't know about? But do we look around at what God has given us on a daily basis? Are there little mercies in disguise that we don't see? Little things every day just to sustain us, to keep me going, even if every day is a challenge. If somebody could have Philippians 4, 6 ready, 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, and John 16, 33.
anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known to God.
And 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7.
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, and casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
So Jesus has overcome the world. That's a powerful statement. He is the ruler of the world, after all. He created, he's the creator of it. So, yeah, nothing is beyond him and his authority. Nothing will happen to you without him knowing. If he won't allow it, it won't happen. If it is something that he said will or needs to happen, it will. Somebody have John 14:26-29.
But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will cause you to remember everything I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not let your hearts be distressed or lacking in courage. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I'm coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe.
So Jesus has given us peace in him. But also through the Spirit who is now with us while we wait for Jesus' return. Don't worry about everything or anything. Nothing here is so important that it can compare to eternity. Everything here is here today and gone tomorrow. We're only here for a short time, so why focus on what is here now instead of what comes after? Does anyone have days where prayer was the only thing that got them through? I don't think any of us are special here. We all have. I think we all should say prayer got us through some days. If not, I kind of wonder how your prayer life is doing. Or maybe God has deemed you to be a little bit more fortunate and he's protecting you and guarding you. And if that be the case, praise the Lord for it. So what do we look for peace in? Jobs, bank accounts, retirement funds, family, or stuff? These things may bring happiness and contentment, but not true peace. Fortunately, God has told us where peace can be found. I think it's obvious that our peace is supposed to come from God, but how and why? Man's problem is he thinks as a man and does things his man's way. Whether we realize it or not, doing things our own way and on our own is never the correct way. It's often by our own nature, rebellious, arrogant, and misguided. God created us, so it only makes sense that he knows what peace is and how we can find it in him, others, and ourselves. It's understandable that the world looks for peace and happiness in the wrong places, but we are God's. By submitting to him, we recognize that he knows best. We recognize that he has done his part through Christ to relieve us of the penalty of our sins and took God's wrath and punishment out on himself. We'll come back to that in a little bit here. God spends every day forgiving, guiding, assisting, and setting things up in such a way that even before we existed, he knew how every little minute detail about every little thing and how it affects every other little thing and how that affects every person. To put on top of that, we are his children, so how much more will he take care of us? Got a long one here. Matthew 6:25-34.
Did you say through 31?
34.
Okay. Sorry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or drink or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't there more to life than food and more to the body than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? And which of you, by worrying, can add even 1 hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothing? Think about the flowers of the field. Think about how the flowers of the field grow. They do not work or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today and tomorrow tossed into the fiery heat of the oven, won't he clothe you even more, you people of little faith? So then, don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? For the unconverted pursue these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So then, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own.
We can only have peace if we have our faith in him and his promises. He promised us heaven and eternal life with him if we follow him. The world may have quote-unquote peace in thinking this will all be over soon and nothing after, so why worry about it? Or the religious world may have their beliefs in their religion or God, and they may fully be convinced of it, but it is still incomplete compared to what God has set forth. And if nothing else, their faith will be shaken on the day of judgment. Rick actually brought up a verse a few lessons ago that I thought went nicely with this lesson. If I could have somebody read Romans 8:31-39.
What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes. Rather, he who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or a sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all of these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And then if I could have somebody get Romans 10:16-17 ready. This is one of my favorite verses right now. No matter what happens here on earth, God is faithful. What happens to us here isn't nearly as important as we tend to make it out to be. God is faithful in his promises. He will provide. He will protect and defend, whether it's just life or the schemes of the devil. He will take care of his own. Romans 10:16-17.
But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah said, "Lord, who has believed our messages?" Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is hearing through the word of Christ.
So I think this is probably one of the more obvious verses when we look at the subject of faith, or peace rather. No, faith and peace are not the same, but I think they do go hand in hand. Those who know the Word, who know Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit, will have faith, and in turn, will have peace. Though it also says, not everyone who hears, some will reject it, some won't follow through, some will be swayed by false teaching, making their faith incomplete and inaccurate. So if we don't have the peace that we should, can we honestly say that we have the faith that we should? Hence, our faith will never be exactly what it should on this side of heaven. But God is concerned with dedication and trying to get better. We're flawed and he knows it. But he still wants us anyway. He just wants us to want him. And if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If I could have somebody read James 1, 12 through 18.
Happy is the one who endures testing because he has... because he has proven to be genuine. He will receive the crown of life that God promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, "I am tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then, when desire conceives, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. Do not be led astray, my dear brothers and sisters. All generous giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or the slightest hint of change. For his sovereign plan, he gave us birth. By his sovereign plan, he gave us birth through the message of truth, that we would be a kind of first fruits of all he created.
Thank you. So God has guaranteed a place for us in his own home if we believe in him and do what he's asked. Not that we won't struggle here, but we can take comfort knowing there is more than just our struggles here on earth. And eternity with him will be far and above what we can imagine, and nothing that has happened here will matter once when he welcomes us in. Somebody have James 2:5.
Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?
So God has chosen you personally. He promised us eternal salvation and a home with him if we love him and do what he says. So what else do we need? God has already promised eternal salvation and a home with him. Whatever else happens here is just temporary and things we have to get through to get home to him. I'm not saying that the day-to-day doesn't get to us, because it does. But really, should it? This also doesn't mean that we won't fail, even on a daily basis. But are we trying? And I can't say how much our deeds will impact our salvation. Certainly, grace and mercy cover up a multitude of sins, but how much are we trying? We don't know what will be, quote-unquote, enough. Granted, it'll never be enough. Did I meet the standards God had set for me in my life personally? Did he have things that he wanted me to accomplish that I didn't? And I just didn't try hard enough. Somebody could have Lamentations 3:22 through 26. It's never enough, but that's why he sent Jesus. He grants grace and mercy every day. Lamentations 3:22 through 26.
And my screen went blank. Okay. Now I got to find it again. Okay, 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him and the soul who seeks him. It is good for one to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in his silence when it be laid upon him. Let him put it in his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Is there? How far did you want me to go?
26.
Okay, I think I blew it. So,
so do we believe God will go beyond what we can do or fathom? Be the first two slaves in Matthew 25 who did something with their talents. Be a Christian who tried. Find one thing to get to work on and get better at. If somebody could have Romans 8:28 through 32. Have we placed our faith fully in God? We all can probably work on it. We all have our own doubts and insecurities. Romans 8:28 through 32.
And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, he has also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?
Thank you. So God literally gave us everything. I mentioned this in my community meditation at men's camp. But God himself bore the punishment for what I've done. I think sometimes we separate the Father, Jesus, and the Spirit a little bit too much. But they are one. Jesus is God. God himself found a way to take out his own wrath, justice, and holiness on himself instead of me. If I died for my sins, there's no forgiveness. I'm just dead. Jesus' death can forgive because he was perfect and innocent. He could also take his life back up, whereas if I died, it's just justice. There's no living. Whereas if I died, it's just justice. There's no living for him, though. Somebody could have Hebrews 13:5-9.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember then, which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through 9?
Yes.
Okay. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein.
Thank you. So when the God of the universe says he will never leave you, he won't forget about you, what else can this life or man do? Focus on him. Don't be concerned with things. Things don't matter. I have them today and they break or they're gone, or I forget about them tomorrow. But God is forever. We can take peace and solace in knowing that if we are his, if we've done what he said, he will take care of his own. And we might get done a little bit early. Any questions, comments, anything to add to make time a little bit better? All right, thank you.